This week, WGBH News has been looking back 6 months at the tragic events of April 15th, the Boston Marathon bombings. In the days that followed, an MIT policeman was murdered, a graduate student was carjacked, explosives were thrown at Watertown police, and a manhunt launched for the surviving bombing suspect. It was a harrowing 18 hours, and during that time, police admit that some mistakes were made in their efforts to keep people safe. WGBH's senior investigative reporter, Philip Martin, looks back at those 18 hours and what police learned.
Minutes after news went out that Zohar Tsarnaev had been flushed out of the boat where he was hiding, Watertown exhaled. Police forces from
Winchester, Westford, Woburn,
National Guard, Massachusetts State, Watertown Police, obviously, Boston Police, Cambridge Police, Billerica Police,
and elsewhere were celebrated like war heroes. And many people were hailing the 18-hour police manhunt as a model for the nation. However, 6 months later, Watertown Police Chief Ed DeVoe is more circumspect, preferring to view the Watertown shootout, lockdown, and arrest as a case study rather than a model.
Some of the local colleges have already been reaching out to people to find the lessons learned. I know the state is in the process of putting together the beginnings of an after-action report so we can look at that and have it professionally looked at. That's going to take a while because there's so many things that happened in so many different agencies. You can't do this and just clean up afterwards and just wait for the next time. I think you have to study it. You have to look at it.
Still, DeVoe says that if there is one example of excellence that can be gleaned from the 18 hours that began with the killing of Officer Sean Collier in Cambridge, is the way the law enforcement banded together to track down the suspects.
We just turned onto Franklin from Mount Auburn. We got vehicles on our right and left. We probably can't make it through with the heavy armor. Is there an easier route of approach to get to our target location?
Boston, Cambridge, the state police, the surrounding communities, and then the federal agencies that were able to come in and support us. No one worked outside of the group. That day, all law enforcement worked together just in an incredible way. And it'll always be the highlight of my career and the proudest I've ever been.
And exactly who was in charge that night?
Nobody. I mean, we really just literally sat around a table and we made all the decisions collectively, whether it was 5 a.m. with the mayor and the governor on the phone, and we tossed around the ideas of what we were going to do, shut down just Watertown, are we going to make it a bigger area? And we really went around the table and came to a group decision, and that's what followed the whole day. So there was no one that had any bigger voice than the person sitting beside him.
Cambridge Police Commissioner Robert Haas explains how the command structure at the Arsenal Mall came together that night.
It was a combination between Boston Police and the state police that basically had taken control. As you can imagine, Watertown had 5-6 police officers working. And the enormity of that incident really overwhelmed the Watertown police. And so it was really the assistance with the state police and Boston Police that we actually started to develop that whole plan around how we were going to do the search and working through it. Chief DeVoe was there the entire time. Chief Davis was there the entire time. I was there the entire time. So we worked together, we stayed together, we talked together.
Nevertheless, says Haas, self-deployment by officers to Watertown from various cities and towns was a concern. There's a lesson here, says Haas.
The moments after the marathon, they couldn't get enough police officers to respond. And the fact that they did respond the way they did helped them secure a number of scenes. As you can imagine, the chaos that day in terms of thinking about what took place at the finish line. The Watertown incident was a little bit different in the sense that it was very prolonged. It went on for hours and hours. And actually trying to get control of the number of people, the masses of people showed up, proved to be a challenge for the people who were trying to organize that event.
Police are also studying the many incidences of bullets fired into the homes of East Watertown residents. As we reported earlier, one bullet from the direction of police came within a few inches of hitting a bed where a toddler was sleeping. Another went through a chair where a man had been sitting just moments earlier.
And it had penetrated the wall and the desk chair clean through.
Watertown residents are also reflecting on the lessons of the violent standoff. Jeffrey Ryan and Mike Doucette live in houses 12 yards apart at the intersection of Dexter and Laurel, the site of the gun battle. But their views of how law enforcement handled the violence over 18 hours in April couldn't be wider. Here's Jeffrey Ryan.
It seemed very organized. It seemed like they knew exactly what they were doing. I mean, the situation was, by nature, chaotic. I mean, these two criminals had come into the neighborhood to commit mayhem and murder and God knows what else. And I had the impression that the police forces were well coordinated.
And here's Mike Doucette.
No, everyone was kind of on a different page. I had to talk to so many different cops because they weren't sharing information when it first happened. And as far as them being organized, as soon as the bombs started going off, they didn't know what the hell to do. They went running for cover and started shooting over their cars. You know, it's not Afghanistan.
In the aftermath of the manhunt, Watertown police have held community meetings with residents to hear their views and to issue apologies to those whose lives were endangered. Police Chief DeVoe.
I promised the residents of Watertown that we'll do a real serious look at ourselves and everything that happened here to make sure, you know, what went right, what went wrong, and what we can learn from that. And it's gonna take a while to do that, but we are in the process of working with the state.
And Watertown residents, even those who experienced close calls with bullets penetrating their homes, had mainly praise for law enforcement officials during the shootout and subsequent search for Zohar Tsarnaev. Andy Fellner, a father of two small children, is one of them.
I think that given the conditions they did, they were forced to do a job that they were not trained to do at all, and I don't fault them for anything that happened. I think we were just unfortunate to be so close to such a strange occurrence that I'm not sure why, but seemed to randomly have chosen this very quiet street that we live on.
So why did the Tsarnaevs make their last stand in Watertown? We know they knew the town well. Tamerlan's close friend lived here on Boylston, and the brothers had visited the neighborhood three times on April 18th. The carjacking victim was forced to drive here earlier in the night. Now, Watertown police are investigating to see if there are deeper connections. Police Chief DeVoe.
We're still trying to flush that out. You know, we're part of a lot of the detectives' meetings now with the FBI in Boston and trying to retrace all the steps and everything. And that's an investigation that continues on. One of the things about Watertown is it's a very diverse community. Now we're trying to figure out if bad people can kind of, you know, just melt in here and not raise any concerns as they might in other areas of Massachusetts.
The Tsarnaev brothers were also familiar with Watertown's roads, likened by one resident to the streets of Prague, circular, concentric, and confusing. Outside police forces got lost here.
So we get on a map and ask us where the nearest main street is so we can get that way.
And that in itself is a lesson, says right. Chief DeVoe.
So in a true emergency, I think police vehicles got to have a better GPS system. The officers certainly weren't going to stop and program an address in, but we could have had more resources quicker if we had that type of technology.
Looking back, Peabody Police Chief Robert Champagne, who dispatched 12 officers 30 miles to assist in the search and arrests, says the massive police response was not perfect, but
we learn lessons all the time. So I think this is really a great opportunity to point out we did a lot of things right those days, and there's other things that we look at and talk about later and say, what could we do better the next time?
The police response in Watertown over an 18-hour period on April 19th included acts of heroism. But law enforcement's response also posed an added public safety risk that serves as a cautionary tale in how to protect a community while dealing with terrorism in our midst. In Watertown, I'm Philip Martin, WGBH Boston Public Radio.
"18 Hours" was reported by Philip Martin and co-produced by James Edwards and Hillary Sargent. Ted Canova is our editor. If you missed the series, it's not too late. You can read or listen to our six-month anniversary marathon coverage by going to wgbhnews.org, and you can also watch Philip's TV report online on Channel 2's Greater Boston.